today on Path of Grace.
See, Paul's saying, you have the freedom and I have the freedom to eat what we want. We could eat pork chops, bacon, and deep-fried balls of breaded lard at every meal. We're free. All things are lawful, but all things are not helpful. And in that case, we could probably say all things are not healthful. If we ate that way, it would probably hinder our ability to work and take care of our families, cut our life short. But if you choose to eat that way, it won't change who you are in Christ. All things are lawful, but Paul says, but not all things are helpful. Do we want to be helpful in what we do? Do we want the things we eat to be helpful and healthful or not? I mean, we get to make that decision. Hey there, my friend. Today, we are going to continue our journey through the book of Daniel together. By the grace of God, we'll wrap up chapter 1. If you missed our earlier studies, give them a listen. I think you will be encouraged by them. Now, before we get started, I want to let you know about something you might not have discovered yet on the website. At the top of the page, you should see a link that says Short Stuff. Click on that, and you are going to find a whole bunch of devotional-type audios that are between 1 and 2 minutes long. I think you might enjoy those, and they'll be great to share with other people too. Just a nifty little ministry tool for you, and hopefully an encouragement for you as well. Now, let's do a quick review. In a nutshell, the Babylonians had come in and overrun God's people. It had been foretold by the prophets that due to their idolatry, this was going to happen to these Hebrews. A bunch of young men ended up being hauled off into captivity to really be indoctrinated and trained up in everything Babylonian. Four of them are mentioned by name because they really stood out and because, as we'll see today in our study, God had given them some special abilities. God is a potter. We are the clay, right? And there are certain people that God at times raises up for very special things. And these guys are some of those guys, especially Daniel. Now, these four men that we have mentioned by name were put under the care of the chief of the eunuchs, who is given the task, basically, of reprogramming them and all of the rest of these young Hebrew men into everything Babylonian. He wanted to deprogram their Hebrew heritage and make them like the Babylonians. They even changed their names to Babylonian names. We saw also in our last study that in an effort to disconnect them from their Hebrew heritage, which would have included dietary laws, which are part of the law of Moses, they instead gave these guys the same food this pagan king was eating. They literally were going to get to eat the king's food and drink his wine. In chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "And the king doth appoint for them a rate day by day of the king's portion of food and of the wine of his drinking, so as to nourish them 3 years, that at the end thereof they may stand before the king." So they were offered the king's portion of the food. That's what they were supposed to eat. But then look down at verse 8. "And Daniel purposeth in his heart that he will not pollute himself with the king's portion of food and with the wine of his drinking, and he seeketh of the chief of the eunuchs that he may not pollute himself." So Daniel, unlike the majority of these young Hebrew guys, apparently had been raised up to follow the dietary laws of Moses. He was holding on to the Hebrew traditions that God had given these people, unlike the majority of the Hebrew people who had rejected these things and turned to a life of idolatry. I'm sure that Daniel's parents must have been part of that small remnant that was being faithful to what God had given them to do. I'm sure that growing up, Daniel probably heard his parents saying, "Hey, Dan, listen, everyone else around us is getting into this idolatry stuff. It looks pretty appealing. The food they're eating looks pretty tasty, but God has given us something special. It's a, at times, a rough road, a hoe, but it's what we're called to do, so let's do it. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." I wonder if maybe Daniel's parents were totally into prophecy. I wonder if Daniel's dad had told Daniel at some point, "You know, Dan, looking around at what's going on in the world today, looks like that Babylonian takeover is just on the horizon. Isaiah the prophet said that the Babylonians are going to come and take people captive. We're going to be overrun because of this idolatry. Dan, it looks like the clock is ticking. Time is short. Our Hebrew people are in trouble." I wonder if other people would have heard talk like that and said, "Oh, Dan, your dad is crazy. You literalist, that can't possibly mean what it says." But I think Daniel was listening. And when those things happened, he recognized that it was the hand of God. He knew God was fulfilling what he said he was going to do. And so Daniel really took seriously what he believed he was supposed to do. Now, a lot of people could have looked at this Babylonian overthrow as kind of a coincidence. Wow, isn't that weird? The Babylonian captivity has happened. Didn't some prophets say something about that? Wow, what a coincidence. I wonder if the same thing happens today. I wonder if when some people look at the scripture and then look at the world, they just say, oh, what a coincidence. I mean, think about Israel, reestablished as a nation not that many decades ago. Ah, coincidence. The Bible mentions some things about that. Ah, just coincidence. Think about Israel being the focal point pretty much of world politics and the nations around it and just so much centered on Israel. Ah, coincidence, or is it fulfillment of what Scripture has spoken about? I think it's fulfillment. So anyway, here's Daniel in this land as these things were fulfilled, and he purposed in his heart, it says, not to pollute himself with the king's portion of food and wine. Now, that brings up the question, what's the big deal about eating the king's food and drinking his wine? It's just food and drink. Isn't it okay for us to eat whatever we want? Well, the answer, in short, for you and me today is yes. We're going to see in a few minutes, the Apostle Paul tells us all things are lawful. But for Daniel, the Hebrew, the Jew, under the law, God had given them the law of Moses to make them a unique people. And part of it included these regulations about certain foods. There were certain foods that were called unclean. Some foods were even called an abomination. They weren't supposed to touch them. They weren't supposed to eat them. I think some of the foods were called unclean and off limits for health reasons. Think about shellfish. That was called unclean. And pork. We even know today that if those foods aren't taken care of just right, you can get sick from them. And I think God is wanting to preserve the Jews and keep them healthy for the arrival of the Messiah. Part of these prohibitions against certain food, I think, had to do with the fact that certain animals played a part in the worship of false gods. Some of these animals were sacrificed to false gods, and then the people would eat these sacrificial animals. Pigs, swine were used in the worship of some of the false gods. And so the king's delicacies probably included pork and other meat that had been sacrificed to idols, probably all sorts of things that under the law of Moses would have been prohibited. And so Daniel said, man, I don't want to eat that. I mean, I've seen all this stuff coming down. Look, here we are in Babylon. I had heard about this stuff happening. Okay, so what about the wine? I don't want to do that. What about the wine? I kind of think that was just because Daniel wanted to have his head clear. He knew that the wine would cloud his thinking. So he didn't want to drink the wine. He didn't want to eat that food that would have been unclean for him as a Hebrew. And then we come to verse 9, and God giveth Daniel for kindness and for mercies before the chief of the eunuchs. In other words, God gave Daniel favor with the guy in charge. Verse 10, and the chief of the eunuchs saith to Daniel, I am fearing my lord the king, who hath appointed your food and your drink. For why doth he see your faces sadder than those of the lads which are of your circle? Then ye have made my head indebted to the king. He's saying, Dan, I hear you. I understand that you're not wanting to eat this stuff, but you've got to understand this is what the king wants you to eat. And if you guys don't eat this and you start looking worse than all of these other guys, if they start looking healthier and you start looking unhealthy when I'm supposed to be making sure you're all healthy, the king's going to want my head. Verse 11, and Daniel saith unto Meltzar, whom the chief of the eunuchs hath appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, try, I pray thee, thy servants 10 days, and give us vegetables to eat and water to drink, and then check out our appearance. Let our appearance be seen before thee, and the appearance of the other lads who are eating the king's portion of food, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. And he hearketh to them, to this word, and trieth them 10 days. In other words, they say, hey, let us try it 10 days. We'll just eat vegetables and water for 10 days. At the end of that 10 days, compare us and our appearance with all of the other guys that are eating the king's food and just see how we look. And if we look good, let us keep doing that. I love the way Daniel worked this out. He doesn't start pointing a finger at these guys saying, "You filthy heathens, I'm not going to eat your dirty food, you pagan idol worshipers." No, he said, "Sir, can we try something? Can we give this a test?" Verse 15. "And at the end of the 10 days, their appearance hath appeared better and fatter in flesh than any of the lads who are eating the king's portion of food." So they put on weight eating vegetables and water. "And the meltzer is taking away their portion of food and the wine of their drink and is giving to them vegetables." Verse 17. "And to these four lads, God hath given to them knowledge and understanding and every kind of literature and wisdom. And Daniel hath given instruction about every kind of vision and dreams." Now, what's it say? God gave these four guys mentioned by name some special gifts and abilities that he hadn't given all the rest. Now, I've heard a lot of sermons on you need to dare to be a Daniel. And you know what? It is true. We should seek to be people of conviction like Daniel. We're going to see him being a great man of faith throughout this book. But we've also got to realize that God is a potter. We are the clay, and God gave these four guys we're going to read about some special gifts and abilities that he didn't give to everyone. The reason they were extraordinary, well, especially Daniel being able to interpret these visions and dreams, was because God gave him that ability. If everyone was able to interpret visions and dreams the way Daniel did, it wouldn't have been anything extraordinary. And God was going to do something extraordinary through this man, Daniel. Verse 18. "And at the end of the days that the king had said to bring them in doth the chief of the eunuchs before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king speaketh with them, and there hath none been found among them all like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And they stood before the king. And in any manner of wisdom and understanding that the king hath sought of them, he findeth them 10 hands above all the scribes and enchanters who are in all his kingdom." And then verse 21, "And Daniel is under the first year of Cyrus the king." So think about what happened. The king put them to the test, and he found out that these guys who God had put his hands upon in a special way, these guys who had purposed to do what they believed was right, they were found to be 10 times better than all of the wisest men the king had in his court. It's amazing. Now, again, we've got to realize God had given these four guys these special gifts and abilities. He's given you some gifts and abilities, too. He's given me some gifts and abilities, too. It's up to him to distribute to us our talents and gifts and abilities as he wills. But Daniel also did something. He purposed in his heart, it said. So I think in life, we get to purpose in our heart. We make decisions. You know, as I think about purpose, I think about something the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, "You have fully known my purpose." What was Paul's purpose? I think he summed it up in Philippians 1:21, where he said, "For me, to live is Christ." Now we know his purpose was also to take the gospel of grace to the Gentiles. But for him, as an individual, "For me to live is Christ." Paul had a great purpose, and I pray that that would be our purpose as well. Now, back to this issue of dietary laws, because here we find Daniel refusing to eat certain foods, and the question always comes up, well, should we follow those same dietary regulations that the Hebrews were following? And a lot of people today try to, and if you want to follow them, you're free to do that, but that is not the route to making yourself, quote, right with God, end quote. A special diet is not what saves anyone or justifies anyone today in the sight of God. The Apostle Paul tells us that we are not under law, but under grace. You and I, this side of the cross, we're not under law, but under grace. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, Paul says something that I believe applies to this. He says, "All things are lawful for me." All things are lawful. That is radical. It's hard to fathom, especially if someone has come from a life of dietary rules and regulations and all sorts of religious rules and regulations. To hear Paul say, "All things are lawful for me," it is shocking. But he goes on in that verse and he says, "But not all things are helpful." See, Paul's saying, you have the freedom and I have the freedom to eat what we want. We could eat pork chops, bacon, and deep-fried balls of breaded lard at every meal. We're free. All things are lawful, but all things are not helpful. And in that case, we could probably say all things are not healthful. If we ate that way, it would probably hinder our ability to work and take care of our families, cut our life short. But if you choose to eat that way, it won't change who you are in Christ. All things are lawful, but Paul says, but not all things are helpful. Do we want to be helpful in what we do? Do we want the things we eat to be helpful and healthful or not? I mean, we get to make that decision. He then goes on in that same verse, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12, and says, all things are lawful for me. So he says it twice in one verse. But then he says, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So even as he talks about all things being lawful, it seems like Paul was alluding to, I think, addictions. Things that can bring people down and hold them back and keep us from living up to the potential that we could otherwise live up to. In another place, he says, it's for freedom that Christ has made us free. We're not to let people put us again under a yoke of bondage of religious regulations. He even says, to the pure, all things are pure. Paul seemed to really make some big points that could be applied to diet and things of that nature. But then he also said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. The word edify means to build up. While we are free to make good decisions or bad decisions, it won't change our standing in Christ. We are free to do things that edify or not. But Paul is saying, hey, you know what? How about we choose those things that edify, those things that lift us up, those things that are helpful? And then in regard to all things being lawful and the freedom we have, he then adds in verse 24, this is 1 Corinthians 10, verse 24, let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. So as we consider the freedom we have in Christ, we're to consider the well-being of other people as well, not just to live a life of, here's what I want, this is what I'm going to do. So you're free to eat what you want. All things are lawful. But I think a way to sum up what Paul teaches us is be wise with what you do and what you eat as we live our life of freedom. Because the better choices we make, the better life is going to be. My name is James Flanders. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your prayers, your encouraging words, and your support. And again, be sure to check out the Short Stuff section of this website where you'll find a whole bunch of devotional-length audios that are all between 1 and 2 minutes long. And over the next few days, there should be a whole lot more of them being added to that section of the site. Thanks again for listening. Be blessed, my friend. Be blessed.